All right. So if you, your parents invite you to come and they say, you can discuss anything you want with us. And when you do, they, I mean, they let you have it. Well, we had little Rachel, and then 18 months later, someone ordered the boys, and I couldn't put them back, so I had to take them home. But we have always let the kiddos, our children, say whatever they wanted. If they were mad, they could express that to us. And so Joshua was just a young boy, and he went across to the neighbors, and his friend had a cat, a black cat, and he was mean to it. And Joshua said something to him, and he said, you need to leave, and you need to go home, or I'll kick you in the ice hole. And so sitting around the dinner table, Joshua said, Daddy, what's an ice hole? And I said, son, you have missed what he said. Here's what he said, and this is what he meant. And there was no embarrassment there. He heard a word that he had never heard before. But if you say to someone, and who's boyfriend, girlfriend? Anyone boyfriend, girlfriend? And you say, I want you to be honest. And when you're honest, you'll degrade them, you'll yell at them, you'll do, they won't talk to you again. If I want honesty, I have to develop the atmosphere where you feel safe to come in here and say, without that, God is approachable. Now, let me ask you, and I want no pat little answers, okay? I want you to be honest. There are times that I have wondered, God, I know where you are. I just don't know that you really care. I was not ashamed of that statement. That's how I felt. What is there in your life, if you want to share it, something that's happened where you wonder, God, where are you? Do you even care? That's caused you maybe to walk away from your faith, or maybe your faith has wavered? Has there ever been a situation in your life where you just wonder, I know God can, but He hasn't. I'll find another answer. Ethan?
This was a couple of years ago. Last year. A friend of mine, good kid, he had never really struck me as the depressed or any kind of like hurting type, but he had always gone to church and his whole life. Was raised right from a Christian home just like I was. But one day his parents found him on the floor with a bottle of empty bottle of pills next to him, and we almost lost him.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to commit suicide. That was the most faith-shaking moment I've ever had in my entire life.
And that, Ethan, is happening more and more. Not just among young folks, but among everybody. And suicide and situations like it, it comes down to, if this is all there is to life, it's not worth living. How many of you have ridden a train through a tunnel? You don't have a whole lot of trains here. Or just go through the tunnel we've got up here in 49. Of course, it's all lit up. It's dark if the train stops. But if it keeps going, what's at the end of the tunnel?
Light.
In that's life. You may feel right now that there's no hope, it's not worth it. If this is all there is to a relationship, this is all there is to being a Christian, it's not worth living, and you hop off the train. Anyone else want to share something that's happened in your life that's caused you to wonder? I've wondered, I was not raised in the church. I was raised in the Church of England. And there's times that I have stopped and asked myself, have I just swallowed this big story, hook, line, and sinker, like everyone else? Or is there really a God? And go back and re-examine. And there's been times in my life that I've done that. Anyone else want to share anything that has shaken your faith in God? That causes you to say, what in the world did I do wrong?
So a couple years ago, we had a friend, a close friend, and he had come to our congregation and their family. We were all really close, but they moved to Seneca, Missouri, and they went to the church there. And we were still relatively close. And then one day, there was an accident, and one of their kids we were close with passed away.
How old was he?
He was 13.
13 years of age. God spoke. Don't get the idea that somehow God just got down there in the clay and started molding. He spoke. And from dust, we became a decorated dirt bowl. God spoke into existence. Can God stop situations like that? And if he can, why doesn't he? First thing that we've got to get a grip on, God is approachable. My son is more like me, Joshua. Kayla's more like his mother. That when their great-granddaddy died, he gave them some money. One of my sons was 16 years old and went and bought a house. He was into rodeos and he bought a house. And Joshua, the other son, bought a truck. I don't know what happened, but I'd ground my children for 5 years. You know, just silliness. And so I told Joshua, I don't know what he'd done, but I said, Joshua, you need to park your truck in the back of the house. You're not going to ride it for a month. Daddy, you can't do that. And I thought, I'm going to win this battle. I'm not going to be outsmarted by my 50-year-old son. And so he parked his car in the back, and this discussion went on for some time, and I finally just took his truck and put it on the main highway that goes between Haleyville, Alabama, and Tuscaloosa, Highway 13. And I put a for sale sign on it. And he was talking to Mama and said, Mama, Daddy really do that? And of course, Donna knew that I wouldn't do that, but I was going to get the bluff on Josh. And he came in one day and he said, Daddy, he said, right now I just hate you. What was my response to my son telling me I hate you? Josh, I understand. I understand exactly what you're going through. I'd hate me too. Did my son hate me? No. And so there's times when we're going to look at God and we're going to say, God, where in the world are you? How can you let this happen? And because of the relationship that we have with God and what Christ has gone through for us and with us, God understands our frustration. In the book of Hebrews 13, verse 5, and I hope you have your Bibles in one form or another, he said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. What I want to do in the time that we have is I want us to look at the book of Psalms. Turn to Psalms 13. I want us to just simply look and see what God is saying and what David is saying to man. Someone read Psalms chapter 13, verse 1 through 4.
How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome you. And my adversaries will rejoice, and I am shaken.
What catches your attention in four verses? Do what?
Consider and answer me.
What else?
The continuing.
Do what?
The continuous question of how long.
The language here is David yelling at God. How long? How long, God? Not once, not twice. Not three times, but how many times? Four. How long? And so in the very beginning there, notice verse 1, what David is saying to God. And the psalm's made up with four P's. Number one, problems. The book of Psalms is made up of five books, basically with four topics. It will be problems. It will be penitence. What's penitence? Repentance. Do you understand that better? Then he deals with the idea of prayer. Prayer and praise. And in the Psalms, you'll find either one or several of those mixed together. So let's read verse 1 again. Read it.
How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?
All right. Psalms 13 is talking about problems. My daughter would call up when she was in college down at Auburn in Alabama. And as a father, you always say, when she's saying, I'm having a bad day, Daddy, I need to talk about it. And she'd talk about it, and my typical answer would be what? What do your parents say when you're having problems and you say, I'm having problems?
Suck it up.
What else?
Why?
What else? What advice do they give you?
Pray about it.
What else?
Talk about it.
What else? Do what?
Just like keep going to the next day.
Keep going? Next day? What else?
What do you do?
They always give you that pat type, it'll be all right. And Rachel said to me, she said, Daddy, can I not just have a bad day? Everyone's allowed a bad day. And David is saying, God, I'm having a bad day. I want you to notice. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? After you yell at your parents, what do you do? Do what? You run. They'll throw something. But here's what I want you to notice. When we're talking about God being approachable, David said, how long are you going to forget me? Forever? And the idea is problems sometimes seem to be unending. They never stop. Have you been around people who, even good godly people, it seems like every hand of cards they get, it's always a bad hand. Nothing ever goes right. You got folks like that in your church? Sometimes your life seems that way. No matter what you do, something is always there. And so here, David is saying, Lord, my problems just seem like they are unending. Are you going to forget me forever? We have to learn to pray and be honest with God. He knows your heart. He knows what you want to say, so just say it. And we learn that from David. Oh, God, I'm having a bad day, but I know it's going to get better. Lord, are you going to forget me forever? And so David thinks that his problems are never, ever going to end. He's like that train in the tunnel. It's always dark. It's never going to get light again. And he's crying out to God. God doesn't strike him dead. God doesn't, he doesn't stop and say, now you wait just a minute, decorated dirt ball. Do you know who you're talking to? God says, come into my presence and be honest with me. Sometimes you've got friends. Sometimes it may even be your parents. But I want you to be honest, and you're thinking in your mind, yeah, I know what happened last time. God did not strike David dead. He didn't put him on probation. He didn't punish him. He didn't ground him. David is being honest, and that honors God. When you as children, young'uns, kiddos, when you are honest with your parents, you are honoring your parents. It's saying, I trust you with these feelings. So there in the book of Psalms, chapter 13, verse 1, David is saying, my problems seem to be unending. If you've got your Bible, there in verse 1, write 2 Corinthians. You've got it on your cell phone, just mark it. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Here's David, he says, how long, Lord, are you going to forget me forever? Do you not know? And God says, I'll give you an answer. Someone read 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. Whoever gets it, read it first.
Therefore, we do not give up, even though our...
Do what? Louder.
Therefore, we do not give up, even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day, for our momentary light affliction...
Now, wait a minute. David said, my problems are what?
Never ending.
They seem like they are unending. And what does Paul say?
Is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So
all right, stop there a minute. You feel like the whole world's coming down on you. And we are told that our light afflictions are but forever, unending, or momentary? Man, in the times you just feel like this is never going to end. Before you know it, it's behind you. Paying for a cell phone. It's not $1,200. It's, well, just $30 a month. I can still do my math. That's still $900. And before you know it, it's paid off. And then it's time for what? I got you hooked. You can't get away from it. And so David said, my problems seem like they're unending. Paul says they are light, they are momentary, and they work for our good. Do not marry an undisciplined person. It's the devil. Someone who's never been through hard times. This may date me, but my first automobile was as old as I was. It was a 1955 Pontiac Star Chief. Before that, I could not afford a vehicle. I was over here, came over in 1972, bought that car to get around Nashville, Tennessee. I think it was $200, had 65,000 miles on, and the seats had never been sat in. It had that plastic stuff on it. And now I see folks here in the university driving Range Rovers, BMW. How much are those things?
Too much.
Huh?
Too much.
$65,000 would not buy you a Range Rover. All right, so your name is what?
Gabe.
Gabe? And what's your name?
Kylie.
Kylie? Kylie's daddy in Texas buys her a Range Rover to go through college. Gabe wants to marry her. The Range Rover wears out. He said the only thing I can afford is a Ford Focus. You get people who have never been disciplined, never been through difficult times. They don't know what it is. And so David, yelling at God, says, "You've forgotten me, Lord. My problems just seem like they're unending." And God said, "They're light, they're momentary, and they work for your good." All right, let's go back to the book of Psalms 13. If I was to say to God, "God, are you going to forget me forever?" David is saying, "Lord, not only do I feel like my problems are unending, I feel like you are uninterested in me." I tell you what, if I said that to God, I would be running. I'd be like Adam and Eve. You wouldn't find me. I'd be afraid of what God would do. But David is teaching us to be honest with God because he's approachable. Not only are my problems unending, Lord, you just seem to be uninterested in me. Can you imagine accusing God of that? You go to restaurants nowadays, and I'm not telling my age here, but families don't, they're not intimate anymore. There's always distractions. The only thing you do at home is kind of come, sleep. It's like a motel more. No intimacy, no discussions, no sitting around the table, no talking about things. We don't even know each other. David said, "Lord, are you even interested in what is going on with me?" Go back to verse 1 and read it again out loud. Anyone who gets it.
"How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?"
All right. David said, "Lord, my problems are unending, and you are uninterested." Right out to the side of that, Hebrews 13, verse 5. Someone read Hebrews 13, verse 5.
"Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you.'"
Three words make up the English word forsake. Out, down, and leave. And so when David says, "Lord, you're uninterested in me," God said, "I'll never leave you, down and out." God said, "I'll never leave you. No matter what you're going through, I'll be there right with you. You can make it because I love you. Do you have that sort of love from anybody in your life that will never leave you nor forsake you? That when things get difficult, they'll always be there? You have that sort of relationship with anybody? Could you say that if I was in this situation, they would be there for me? And because the Christ, and here's one of the problems that we face. When are you going to live with Jesus? Why wait? We go to church, we do our church thing, then we go home and we're whatever we want to be. But what we've forgotten is, who's in here? Who? God, Jesus, the Spirit. Okay. No matter where you go, He's there. It's not a matter of waiting. Right now, you're a child of God. God lives in you. No matter where you go, He'll be with you. And so David said, my problems seem to be unending. And Lord, you seem to be uninterested. And the third point that we bring out there, read verse 2.
Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing so.
Well, I mean, go back to Psalms 13. I'm sorry, my mistake.
How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? And day after day, have sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy triumph over me?
How long will you hide your face from me? Here David is saying, I'm unhappy. When we have problems that seem to be unending, and when we believe that God is just not interested, we become very unhappy. And the Bible says, what about joy? Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. How often?
Always.
Oh, get over it. How in the world, in a case of a suicide, can you rejoice? Some of you may have had brothers or sisters that have died. How do you rejoice through that? And there's things in life that make us unhappy. And God gives us the answer. It's not so much that people doubt that there's a God. It's they doubt, does He really care? Rachel. A lot of times she'd take my face and she would simply turn it and say, Daddy, I got something to say. My wife has done the same thing. You got three children 18 months apart. You got three children. And so I'd be off doing my religious thing, and Donna was at home with three children. And I'd come home and I'd pick up a book or pick up a newspaper, and she said, I want to talk to someone who can put some words together. Turn your face to me, Lord. Daddy, do you care? Turn and look at me. Keep reading.
Look on me, answer. Answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep.
Consider. The word there is, Lord, turn your face towards me. Give me some attention. Man, I'd be running. But the beauty is, God does not punish. God turns his face to David because he understands what David is going through. Lord, do you even care? Give me some attention. Turn your face to me. And God does. He understands us. The question was asked in class with Mike, why did God create us? Someone asked a man who had three children, would you have children again? He said, yeah, just different ones. Let me tell you, sometimes we can be rebellious. A lot of the time we can. Why did God create us? Gonna be a long class. Do what?
To glorify him.
Most of the time, parents will have children because it's an extension of their love. I may only have enough love for one child. I may have enough love for six children. I've got one lady at church. Oh, this is good. 87 years old. And she calls me 30 times Sunday morning to see if I come pick her up. And one day I said, all right, I'm going to show you. And I went and picked her up on a motorcycle with a sidecar. And she loved it. So between church and her house now, she'll call me 9 times. Mike, did you forget where I live? She had 12 children. Unthinkable. And God created us as an extension of his love. He knew we were going to rebel. He knew. He became vulnerable. He became approachable. He knew what we would do to him, and he still created us and gave us life. So David says, my life seems to be unhappy, and my prayers seem to be unsuccessful. God came down to a baby in the womb. And he said, it's time to leave. The little baby boy said, I'm not ready to go anywhere. This is a comfortable place. I hear my mother's heart. It is quiet. It is warm. I like it here. And God said, you're going to have to leave. He said, I don't want to leave. And God said, if you don't ever leave, you will never, ever see your mother's beautiful blue eyes. You will never see the smile on her face. You will never see the joy in your father's face. You've got to leave. And he said, I don't want to leave. And he said, this is just the way it is. You've got to leave. But I don't want to leave. If you don't leave, you will never, ever feel the cool breeze on your face. You will never hear the waves. You will never see your own child. He said, I don't want to leave. And God said, you've got to. And so the little boy said to God, is this going to hurt? And God, being honest, said, yes, you're going to experience more pain than you ever have. And he said, I don't want to leave. And God said, you have to leave. And so he was given birth. He came out and he saw his mother's blue eyes, saw his daddy, and he said, God, why didn't you tell me about this? And he said, I tried, but you couldn't understand. And that young boy grew up and got married had children. And then he got old. Forgot how to dress himself. Forgot how to feed himself. And God said, "You're going to have to leave." And the old man says, "I don't want to leave." He says, "I've got a beautiful lady here that makes me feel warm all over." He had forgotten his wife's name. And God said, "You've got to leave." He had forgotten what he had done in life, forgotten the names of his children. And God said, "You've got to leave." And he said, "I don't want to leave." God said, "You have to leave. Is this going to hurt?" And God, being honest, said, "Yes, this is going to hurt. But if you don't leave, you will never see the street of gold. You will never see God face to face. You will never see the gate of pearl." And he said, "I don't want to leave." And God said, "You have to leave. That's just the way it is." And so death came. And it hurt. And on the other side, he recognized his wife again. He was in a place where no one mocked him because he could not feed himself and he could not clothe himself. He saw the street of gold and he said, "God, why didn't you tell me about this?" And he said, "I tried, but you just could not understand." The beauty about God is he lives with us, he lives through us, and there will be a time that we will be, that relationship will be so strong because sin's not there, that we'll be one with God. Adam and Eve, can you imagine them running around the garden naked and God taking a peek? What's that like? The problem was, sin makes us vulnerable. It makes us naked. Here you have God at one with mankind, and he's going to restore that relationship. Several years ago, 3 years ago, I lost my mother. When I hear people saying, "Well, my parents live over in Missouri. You know how long it takes me to get to Missouri? Do you know how long it takes me to get to New Zealand?" 21 hours on an airplane. Your mother's sick. You need to come home. And by the time you get home, she's dead. Lost my twin brother last year to brain cancer. We were very, very close. My best friend. And now he's not here. And God understands. And the beauty of this, and something that'll be more difficult for you to understand. You lost a friend at 13. That there's coming a time when you will see them again. In perfection as to what God wanted them to be. That makes it all worthwhile. Live a life that glorifies God. Live a life that if you were to meet the end now, you'd make it. It's not a hard life. It's not giving up anything. It's gaining everything. You're going to make some big mistakes. How many of you are Christians? How many of you have made major mistakes? I have made some that I have sat in the auditorium crying on Sunday morning feeling unworthy to preach because of some of the not mistakes, just out and out rebellion against God. And God forgave me. That's what we live for, to glorify God. In times of suffering, God's there and He understands. Nothing you're going through that you can't say, God, do you really care? Because He does. And a great thing, God will care a lot through other people in your lives if you let them. Do you have any questions? I appreciate your attention so much. You're a great bunch of kiddos. And I call you, don't be offended. I got a 38-year-old daughter and I still call her my kiddo. I love you and I appreciate you for being here and for learning about life. A life lived with God. Thank you.